Who's that lady?
Anna!
Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy! Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Stop, listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Who's that lady?
Anna!
The Rand McCoy!
Hurry,
come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry, come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. Hurry,
ooh,
come and listen, it's a Rand McCoy show. The Rand McCoy.
Hurry,
come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show.
Hurry, come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show.
Hurry,
ooh,
come and listen, it's the Rand McCoy show. The Rand McCoy.
She's persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose: to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions.
Ooh,
and now, your host, Anna.
The Rand McCoy.
Welcome to The Real McCoy Show today on Blog Talk Radio. We're excited that you are joining us today. We have a special guest for you, Ms. Pam Rawl. She has been our Woman Act Now expert. For those of you who may not have been tuning in all month to Woman Act Now, we've been talking about leadership, and she's been sharing some awesome, awesome principles with us about next level leadership and moving forward and how you can be the best leader you can be. We're going to be joined in just a few seconds by our host, Coach Anna McCoy. But before we do that, I want to encourage you, if you're listening to us for the first time, to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or log us as a favorite so that you can continue to keep up with the news and updates from Woman Act Now Radio. We broadcast every Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Time, and we would love to have you as a listener. We would also encourage you to visit our website at www.womanactnow.com to find out more about our organization, Woman Act Now, so we can help coach you through what we call the education gap for achieving your dreams and ideas. So I'm going to invite our master coach to the line on today, and she will welcome our guest, and we'll go further in the call. So welcome, Coach Anna.
Well, thank you, Shanna. We want to thank you for listening to us. We're closing up our series on leadership, the power to lead, and we're going to close this series with our the entire month featured on our radio. You can call in to the call as well in order to be a part of this actual call. So I'm excited. We've talked about several different things, and we're just working on our technical issues right now. So we hope that you are hearing us. You stay there for us. We're going to issue on live, and we're going to talk about this. I'm going to be finishing this particular series on Woman Act Now for our power to lead, and I hope that our listening audience have really learned a few things, and I certainly have learned some things when it comes to leadership, and Pam has shared some great tools with us this month. So Pam, welcome to the show. All right, Pam, are you there?
I am here, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. We're actually on location today for our show here in Dallas, Texas, at one of our Woman Act Now members' offices here. We're going to have a meeting after this call, and so we are here working on this technology to make sure that we can get our message out. So anyway, welcome to the show today. So you're going to be on all the talk.
You know what, Coach,
you're
breaking up. I'm here, but you're breaking up just a little bit. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you just perfectly. So
okay.
I want you to, let me tell you what I need you to do today. So that we can get our technology in order. But in the meantime, you're gonna carry this show for a few minutes so I can work on some of the technology behind the scenes. So I want you to just go forward and start teaching them on some of the leadership principles of serving, leading, and loving. And
absolutely.
Go forward. You're the expert.
Okay, absolutely. Well, hello, everybody. So great to be on the Blog Talk Radio show with my favorite coach, Coach Anna McCoy. And I want to get into something that I like to call leadership excellence. And for many years, I've taught a class called Developing a Spirit of Excellence in our leadership department at my home church, in both our Bible college and Christian education. And when I talk about excellence, many times we think about, when we hear that word, we think about just doing everything perfectly right. But really, I believe that excellence is a heart issue, and it comes from a desire to represent God well. It comes from a recognition that the kingdom of God and the people of God deserve our very best. And it's motivated by a love for God and a love for people. And so based on that foundation, I like to talk about three particular areas when it comes to excellence, and then we can kind of just go on from there. The first one is, of course, excellence in holiness. I just call it living right. One of the basics that we learn as children, as believers, is God good, devil bad. And so it's very important that many times as leaders, as we discover our innate ability to lead people, and sometimes many of us have natural charisma, we may have a personality type that just generally attracts people, it can be easy to forget that everything that we have, including the influence and the responsibility that we have, comes from God, and that any sin in our life, any habitual sin, will disconnect us from God. And we know that we can do all things through Him, and without Him, we can do nothing. And so I just like to talk to leaders about making sure that on a daily basis we are knowing that our life is right and our heart is right before God, and so, and that we're not enslaved to any type of habitual sin. Because what will happen is, I call it the powder keg syndrome, where if we are carrying any type of iniquity that we know about and we're not dealing with, our leadership and our influence will continue to grow, and God will continue to use us. And we'll continue to maybe even gain some notoriety, but then eventually that powder keg is going to come in contact with a flame, and things are going to kind of blow up in our faces. And so the first point I love to talk about is just making sure that our life is right. The other one is excellence in stewardship, making sure that we are giving and being the best example that we can in several stewardship areas, and I'll quickly give them to you. The first one is money. Recognizing a responsibility to be, this is my firm belief, according to the word, to be a committed tither and handle our money right. Don't be stingy or fearful when it comes to money. And you may think, well, what does how I handle my money have to do with how I handle people and how I lead? If we handle our money right, it keeps us from greed. And the number one reason leaders get off track or use people is because of greed. And so if we handle our money right, according to what we believe, it will inoculate us, like getting a shot, an inoculation that guards you from greed, recognizing that God is your source. And so you never have to get off track as a leader and be tempted to use people for your own gain. Another area of stewardship is time. The one of the things I like to mentor young leaders about is to allow your purpose to control your clock. If you are aware of what your purpose is, you're aware of what your passion is, you know what God has called you to do, you know what your company is about, what your organization or what your team is about, it'll help you, if you allow it to, it'll help you to control your clock every day. If you spend time in the morning looking at the tasks that you have to do, you prioritize that based on what of all of these things that I have to do, what's the most important based on what's going to further me down the road to my destiny and my purpose. So we steward over our time by allowing our purpose to command our clock. Another area of stewardship is stewarding over our spiritual gifts. recognizing that there are some innate gifts that God puts on the inside of us. And I, one of my favorite words is responsibility, where we respond to the ability that God has given us. It is just a crime and a shame, I like to say, when you see people that have gifts and have talents that they haven't really bothered to develop. They haven't put forth the energy or invested maybe even the time or the money that it takes to actively develop your gift and tap into your potential and see just what can God do if I put myself in his hands, if I really begin to cooperate. If you have a talent for something, you should develop that talent. I will never forget, I like to tell this story of my husband trying to get me to go out on the golf course when we were newly married, I finally went out to the driving range, hit the ball straight, hit the ball long. Everyone thought I was a golfer. I've been golfing for years. And he thought, you need to develop. He said, you need to develop this. And I said, nope, I'm done. So I just did that one day. And many times I think, well, what could I have done? Could I be enjoying golf to this day if I had pursued it? But I just didn't take any responsibility. But I encourage folks, if you find that you have an innate ability to do something, explore that. Do it. You may discover a passion, and it is a part of being responsible. It's a part of stewardship.
Wow.
Another area that I encourage leaders in the area of excellence is excellence and discipline. Don't be an undisciplined person. You'll miss a lack of discipline will cause you to miss opportunity. You'll miss you'll be late for things. You'll miss connecting for things if you're somebody who just leads an undisciplined life. Making decisions at the last minute is a part of being undisciplined. I think that if you've ever hosted an event, you'll find that, I know in my experience working with large churches, that whatever the deadline is to sign up for something, and leaders, you've probably experienced this, people will never ask you when's the first day to sign up. They'll ask you when's the last day. Because what they want to know is, when can we get in just under the wire? And that's kind of a habit, and it's an accepted habit just in general social circles to be last minute, to be late, to be, you know, to make decisions at the last minute. Well, I haven't decided yet. I think one of the reasons why we make decisions at the last minute is because we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we have to keep our word, where if we tell someone we're going to do it and we put it on our calendar, then we feel a little uncomfortable about doing that because now we know we put ourselves in a position where we have to keep our word. So I encourage people, don't be afraid of your own word. Don't be afraid of being disciplined where if I say it, I'm going to do it. Another tip I love to give when it comes to discipline is never make a high-pressure decision in a high-pressure situation. If you're feeling pressure to make a decision, or even about your character, about your life, make that decision in quietness. Make that decision with wise counsel. Don't wait until the pressure is on, and then you have to make a decision. It's like, can you imagine driving down the road and then waiting until you get to the intersection to decide which way you're going to turn? And even as ridiculous as that sounds, many times as leaders, we do that with our lives. We won't decide until we have to decide, you know? And so we want to be disciplined enough that we can make a decision ahead of time, and then when we get to that fork in the road, we can focus on not which way we're going, but we can focus on navigating, moving our organization in that direction to make smoother transitions in our lives. Make sense?
Yes. Can you hear us now?
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right. But, wow, I tell you, you are something special, Pam Ross. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, you know what? I feel absolutely wonderful with having you on today and just your ability to step right into this and just do it. So You know, actually, we have been listening. We've worked out some of the details of our technology, and just some of the points that you've given so far is, one, I love the fact that talking about, well, you said many things, lack of discipline, allowing your passion to control your time. You talked about practicing your word. Never, and I love this last one because, you know, the power of decisions is not making a decision at an inappropriate time, not making
right.
a decision when you're really under pressure. So you've just been doing a tremendous job. But I want to take just a minute, Pam, so that our listeners know who they're listening to because we jump right into it and we know who they're listening to. But tell people a little bit about what you do.
Okay.
What your passions are, and then we're going to go back into some additional leadership principles.
Absolutely. Well, I'm Pam Ross, and I'm the president of Kingdom Leadership Development. It's an organization that's dedicated to helping leaders perform at their highest level for the service of man and the glory of God. And we do that through mentoring. We host educational events and networking events, and we are newly published our first book entitled Serving, Leading, and Loving, A Survival Guide for Kingdom Leaders. And the book really is a mentoring book helping those that are leading in ministry but also just in any arena in your life to avoid some of the traps, some of the mistakes, some of the missteps that we can take as leaders that can cost us dearly, that even cause some people to be delayed or even shipwrecked. And so we've been getting great reviews from the book from people both in ministry and in the corporate arena. So I'm really super, super happy about that. I'm also a blogger. My blog is entitled Mentoring Moments, the one-minute blog, and we try to pack in as much information as we can, motivation and inspiration for leaders and believers in 1 minute once a week. And you can get Mentoring Moments, the one-minute blog, by just going to the website, pamroth.net, and you'll see a little block there that says join my mailing list, and you can log on to that and get that. And the audio version is picking up on radio. So I'm just excited about being here with my coach.
Oh, well, you know what, Pam? I want you to know that I certainly appreciate you and honor you and respect what you're doing, and I think your future is so very bright with the opportunity that's going to come ahead of you. And you know what? I just want to encourage you to keep putting forth the effort in on the small stage, you know, every stage. And I have the attitude that whether I'm speaking to one person or I'm speaking to many, that I will do what I do for an audience of one. And
yeah.
I encourage you as you continue to move forward and those opportunities present themselves for you, just stay the course, and you're going to do something really special in the future. I just sense it. You're already doing great things now, but I think your passion, your ability to communicate, your love for people is going to like the wisdom. People are going to pursue the wisdom that you have in this area. So we're excited that you in that process. So let's talk a little bit more. In fact, we're only going to do a half an hour show today. But we have about 10 to 12 minutes left on this program today. And I want to share with our audience, I want to talk about some things. I might just throw you a curveball here, but I know that you're capable and you're prepared. So I want to talk about some of the difficulties, because in your book, and I don't have it in front of me, but we've talked about certain things and how. Let's talk a little bit about your book specifically in this area of serving, leading, and loving. And I want you to talk about the content of your book and how it's going to really empower people, because when I read the draft copy, as you begin to really start to write the book, one of the things that I was impressed with is your ability to communicate what people go through, literally, what volunteers go through, and, you know, this passion of yours. And I love the one-minute message that you have for extreme leadership, which the ultimate aim of that message is to
get leaders to understand that you're asking people to volunteer in this organism, and you have to understand who they are and understand the power of what you have to offer them as a leader. And I thought that was really powerful, and you've been able to share some of these principles in your book that really touch people from this place, because we're suffering a lot of issues with leadership in ministry. So help a person who might be listening today how to navigate some of those more difficult challenges, or if you have some examples of some things that you have helped people to overcome, I think it would be helpful. We would have an opportunity to hear you today.
Absolutely. One of the things that one of my favorite chapters, it turned out to be one of my favorite chapters, but it was really one of the most difficult to write. And it's chapter 7. It's entitled Seek to Be Meek. And I really tell the story about when I just gave up and quit because I felt that my responsibilities were too great. I felt that the compensation was too low. I felt that I was really just, it was just overwhelming, and it was asking for too much. And I tell leaders everywhere in volunteer positions and those that are serving in a paid position that there will come a time where you feel like you are right and your leaders are dead wrong. And what I did was I left and I went to a shoe store because that's what saved women do, you know. And and the Lord really spoke to me and instructed me to go back. And I had to recognize that I did not choose to go to that position. And so it wasn't really up to me to throw up my hands and say, okay, I'm done. I don't have to take this. This is outrageous. But what I had to do was recognize the power of meekness. Now, that's not one of my favorite words because it sounds too much like weakness. And as leaders, what I began to learn is that weakness is really power under control. And you will be in situations where you should not say what you could say. And you should not do what you could do. And we've all felt like that. Like, I know what I could tell you, but you're not going to tell. That's the power that you have even over your own soul to stay under the authority of God and not go carnal because the pressure is on. You know what I mean? There'll be times when you will feel anger. There'll be times you'll be grossly disappointed, maybe in the people that you're leading or the people that are leading you. But what you've got to do is stay committed to the core, stay committed, because all of that pressure is designed to get you to say the wrong thing and do the wrong thing, something that you're going to regret later. And so now there is a time when it is time to go, and God gives us instructions on how to bow out gracefully. But the thing that I love so much about chapter 7 is that it recognizes, it allows people that, let's just be honest, it's not all, you know, it's not a candy bar, and it's not all going to be, you know, sweet and roses all the time. You will have tribulation. You will have some difficulties. You'll have some challenges. And when we warn people of that, when they hit those challenges, they won't give up and they won't go carnal. You'll be prepared for it. So if you're a leader listening and you find yourself in that situation, what you want to do is look to Jesus' example of meekness. Here he was being persecuted under difficulty. And yet, what he could have done and what he could have said, he didn't say. And so it's knowing when to release the right words in the right arena to the right person, recognizing having to really kill that desire to complain, because complaining doesn't get us anywhere. And so one of the things I absolutely love about this chapter is that it lets people know that, yes, there will be times where you feel like quitting, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's time to quit. It just could mean it's time to take a little break, but it doesn't necessarily give you the right to quit. You have to earn the right to quit.
That's awesome, Pam. Earn the right to quit.
You got to earn the right to quit. That means that you've poured out everything you have to deposit in that place. I call that, the original title for that chapter was really called the Hagar Test. I remember Hagar, she was Sarah's maid, and she became Abraham's secondary wife. And then in the midst of all of the drama going on there, she was really being mistreated by Sarah, and she just up and left and probably had a really good attitude and a really good reason for leaving. And then God sent her back because what she was carrying was going to die in that wilderness if she had not gone back. And many times the place where God has us could be a hard place, but it's a safe place for us to carry and give birth to the gift that's on the inside of us.
Yes. You know, I have my testimony of that one. About 18 years ago, I had the opportunity, as I was with my mentors, Al and Hattie Hollingsworth. I think I was probably fired 3 or 4 times, and every time I get fired, I always look at them and I say, you know, it's going to be really sad if you release me before my season's over.
Yes.
I said, I think you need to sleep on this. So the next morning, you know, we have that marathon meeting again, and he said, okay, I'm going to rehire you today. I said, okay, my season's not up. I keep thinking, I often think about what if he would have fired me before my season. I may not have had the opportunity to meet my husband in the time that God had called because, you know, for me, my husband, I was supposed to meet him on that mountain, literally on the soil of the place I was supposed to be. Now, that was a prophetic word that was spoken to me.
Wow.
2 years before I met him, the word said, my godmother said, you're going to meet your husband. He is going to be a businessman, and you're going to meet him in this place, on this mountain.
Wow.
Okay,
so
and
you knew that you couldn't leave. So you had to be, which kind of goes back to the whole point of being disciplined as a leader. When we're not disciplined, we can't take much.
Yes. Now you're telling the truth. Because you know what? When I think about those times, I think it probably had more to do with my lack of discipline, my lack of doing what I was supposed to do that would create these extreme moments, these extremely difficult, extremely painful moments for both me and that leader that I worked with. So that's great. That is just great because I know so many people, you know, commit their all to ministry. And I think anytime we talk about God and we put kingdom, we put the word, we put the Bible, you know, and even observing leaders, if you turn on our Christian television today and you listen to leadership, the way they speak, you know, how they communicate with people. And I was listening to a well-known pastor last night, evangelist pastor, and I was actually a bit grieved by his communication, that he's gotten so comfortable in who he thinks he is really the reality of how he refers to himself, how he refers to people and the body of Christ. You know, and he was talking about, it was just very grieving to me. And I was thinking, if I had an opportunity to speak to that well-known individual, what would I have to say to him? I think I would say to him as a leader is, you know, let's sit down and watch you. And I want you to tell me, what are you hearing and what do you think people are hearing when you communicate in the way that you do? Because it's kind of a flippant, an arrogance. It's a lack of honor, actually. More than anything else, it's a lack of honor. And, you know, a part of our leadership this month is we've been talking about with the power to lead, the power of wisdom. And last week our prayer was the power of lack. When you lack something in your life, that you would begin to really ask God for that thing. And then this week in our Power Up Prayer for Woman Act Now prayer this morning, I took us to the power of wisdom. And in doing that prayer and preparing for that prayer and writing that prayer, and it was immediately after I finished and I got home last night, and he was just on the screen. It was on TBN for whatever reason. And instead of me changing the channel, I sat there and I watched. But my heart was so grieved because when I understood wisdom, wisdom is the pursuit for any leader, far more than respect, far more than honor, far more than wealth, far more than riches. That if we have, if we can pursue wisdom in all things, and really began to pursue God in that way, we would have the wisdom to know that the way I'm communicating, the way I've become so comfortable with who I am and what my knowledge, the wisdom of man in me, we would have the wisdom to know that I have to change. I know I've been going this route for a long time, but wisdom tells you it's time to change. And if I had an opportunity, I think, to sit with that person, I think I would try to speak to his heart to say, you know what, seek God for wisdom, because the spirit in which you're using today is dishonorable to the body of Christ. And people don't know. What's amazing about it, Pam, is everybody's looking at him, and they take it as jest. They take it as something that's funny, but it is disrespectful, it is dishonorable to the kingdom of God to communicate to us in that way. And I was like, wow, maybe I need to write him a letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the path of the message is all about him and his success and trying to apply the word of God as a leader. And many leaders are at fault to this. When you hear them talk, they use the word of God to build themselves up or to create the separation between people and what they have attained or what they have accomplished. But they're doing it, I think, in a way to try to use themselves as an example. But you know what? I think we're becoming wiser, and it's not really coming off that way, coming off as arrogance and a few other things. So, but anyway, that's my take on that. I don't know how we got over there, leadership expert, but
you know what? It's an excellent point, because many times we as leaders can get off track because we forget that the number one product of a leader is people. Yes, you're getting things done, but you're as a leader, you're called to get things done through people. And so who are the people that you've built? Who are the people that you've encouraged, that you've helped to discover who they are, that you can use your own pain or difficulty that God's brought successes in your life, and then you can use that to show others the way. Really, that's what leaders do. They teach, train, mentor, show others the way. So you really can't brag about the things you've done before you can brag about the people that you've built. And so if you're not honoring even those that are coming behind you, what you're perpetuating, I don't think that sometimes we recognize, and I'm sure this gentleman probably has no idea, recognizing that people are watching you and will make an example of you and think that's how it's done.
Yes.
That's how I'm going to do. And so that's why I believe God tells us to be fruitful and multiply. And please don't start multiplying before you have some fruit.
Yes. You know what's amazing, too, is when I think I was so very impacted by the power of wisdom, the devotional that I was working on, and then seeing that gentleman, that when the scripture we used was concerning Solomon and his request of God when he was appointed as the king. He asked God, he said, God, help me, give me wisdom to lead your people. And what was so beautiful about it, he says, your great people.
Yes.
That let me know that he honored the people that God had entrusted him. And what my experience was with that gentleman is that he was not honoring the position that God had entrusted him with, nor the people. These are God's people. These are people that matter to God. And Pam, you know what? You just do such an awesome, awesome job talking about the love for people.
Yeah.
You you communicate, when you always take it back, that's the net of the whole issue. You take it to the net of people. And I really, that's what I love most, I think, about you, that connected me to you, because I have such a heart for people, and I want to make sure people are okay, that people matter, that these things are important. So when I saw that, when Solomon cried out to God, he says, because your heart's desire is to have wisdom to lead these people, I'm going to give you everything and more like no other king will ever have. I mean, it's like if you were a king and you thought about what Solomon had and you realized that God ain't giving it to you. because he gave it all to Solomon. No other king will ever have this. The other thing that was so powerful about that scripture also was the fact that the world, just like I just spoke to you, Ms. Famroff, the world, when you seek God for wisdom and you have wisdom in this area of dealing with people, you have wisdom in this area of dealing with leaders, the world will begin to seek the wisdom that God has placed in your heart. So I just want to leave that with you today, Pam, as you continue this pursuit, as and certainly as our WAN expert. We, you know, we self-proclaim. We don't ask nobody if you're going to be it. We just self-proclaim. We take you. We identify you. We own you. You know, it's that kind of thing at Woman Act. Now, this is our WAN expert. She can be whatever she wants to, whatever you want her to be, but this is who she is to us. Because we value and we honor the gift that is in your life and the call that is on your life. And we just thank you for being with us today.
Coach, this has been such an honor for me. Thank you so much. I love you dearly. I appreciate all that you are to me and all of the WAN members worldwide, and just encouraging us to go for it and be all that God has for us to be. You encourage us to be disciplined, to be wise in our... You encourage us to walk in integrity, and I just love you for it. And, yes, indeed, I am your WAN leadership expert. I want us to lead well. I want God to be pleased with us, you know, and I just – that's my absolute passion. There's nothing that breaks my heart more than bad leadership, misdirected leadership. And so I just want God's people to have that fire to say, yes, I will lead. I'll show the way. I'll take the responsibility. I'll love and guide God's people. So thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been wonderful.
Yes, well, you're so very welcome. And we want to thank all of our listeners who joined us and endured with us throughout this radio program today. And we've had some technical difficulties, and we want to encourage you to just share the message. Every Thursday we have Woman Act Now Radio, where we're empowering women to really win in life. Our passion here is you hear from our WAN experts to our coaches, to Shana and myself, that, you know what, this is a place where you really matter. You matter, and we want you to know that. So we want to invite you to join WAN, and how could they do that, Shana?
You can visit our website at www.womanactnow.com. Click on the Join button, and it'll send, and you'll be able to go through the join process. Or you can also give me a call. I can talk to you more about the organization and the benefits of it, as well as how it'll bless your life. You can give me a call at 877-751-5700, extension 407. I'll have a promo code for you that will be a free promo code for a free trial, 30-day free trial, so that you can try us out for free. But you got to give me a call first at 877-751-5700, extension 407. Because when you call me, that means that you're making the decision to own the right to move forward in your dreams, visions, and ideas.
All right, so we want you to visit Pam Roth at pamroth.net. Invite her to your church. Invite her to your women's conference. She's a great leadership expert and just an incredible talent, actually, and she'll do a fine job. You heard her here on Woman Act